I'm ready.
Okay.
Hello. Hi, it's Rob Robinson.
Hi, Rob.
Hi there.
Hi, Rob. Dave here.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Hunky dory.
Good.
Okay. So far, we have George, David, Rob, and me. And the webcast is already up and working, which is nice.
I told Scooter, I offered to play my harmonica to entertain the listeners, but luckily we had something more important to talk about.
Okay.
Well, dead air, you know, being what it is.
Right. Well, maybe there'll be another opportunity for harmonica playing.
No, please. I've no need to. Only in desperation. I remember in the Berkeley meeting, dead air, when the board was late getting back to the
Yes.
I did start playing my harmonica on the air, but the feedback I got from that was it would be better if we spoke about something constructive.
Hey, hello, hello.
Hi, this is Pete.
Hi, Pete.
Hello.
And Carol.
Hi,
Carol. Hi, Pete.
So far we have George, Pete, David, Ron, Carol, and myself. And the webcast is up and running. So we're waiting for us.
I know Jabari's going to call in.
George, have you spoken to Teresa? Do you know if she's going to be on the call?
I have not. I've left messages for her. I recall an email. Maybe she told me that she was going to be. Mm-hmm. She'll be hiking in the wilds of West Texas.
Okay.
I don't recall whether that was by.
I'm sorry, I lost track. We've got, who do we have on?
With George, Pete, David, Rob, Carol, and me. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We actually have quorum.
I will note, you know, Carol, and I'm very sorry about this, because of other matters I've had to attend to and my being away from my office, I've been unable to really take the time to download your revised version. I'm also working on a revision, and I had intended to have it uploaded by Friday, but I've been unable to do so. I suspect our conversation today may lead to further revisions, however, so it's not, you know, the end of the world.
Okay. Well, let's see. Let's wait another, you know, 2 minutes or so before we get started here. And while we're waiting, I just want to thank folks at WBIX and also Radio for Houston who are both doing the webcast. So we appreciate your cooperation with us and helping to, you know, make these meetings more public. And also thanks to anybody who's actually listening to the webcast. That's great. So we need to have some routine that we use to fill in these waiting for other people to join us moments.
Right. We're not on the air, so you can't call it dead air, but it's dead web or
dead,
something.
Dead cast, right?
Dead cast, yeah.
Well.
I could play Bert Lee highlights from yesterday.
Probably not. I think Janice is probably not going to be on this call again because, you know, the wedding of her daughter was yesterday.
I was going to say, it is this weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, it was yesterday. So that's why Friday was a problem for her also, last minute stuff.
Well, I went to 60th wedding anniversary yesterday.
Oh, my.
Which was quite something. An uncle and aunt of mine together 60 years. They got married during the war in 42. And Walter and Vivian Tanzer, and it was such a joy, I mean, to think 60 years together, and they're still just like teenagers in love.
Oh, my God. Now, that's a lesson in patience.
That's what they said. I think it's a lesson to be learned in working together as well, in any event. And it's something that that someone told me once that I found to be true, that in any relationship, both sides must be willing to give more than 50%. And when you start worrying about who's giving exactly 50, right, the end is well in sight.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be willing to give. And that's very difficult, particularly when there's a perception that one side is not doing enough giving or there is too much at stake. And it's difficult to know when to to call it quits in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
This is Rob. I've got somebody at my door. I'm going to have to put you on. I'll go on hold.
Okay.
I'll come right back. Sure.
Did anyone talk to Ray? Do we know if he will be joining us?
I did not talk to him since Friday. I don't know if anybody else did. I mean, when I spoke to him earlier in the week, he knew about both calls.
Right, and Rob says that Jabari will be joining us. He may be the only person we're waiting for.
This is Jabari.
Oh,
you're on.
Hi,
okay,
Jabari,
great.
Good. Okay, well, now we're just waiting then for Rob to come back. He went to the door for a minute. So, Jabari, just so you know, we have George, Pete, David, Rob, who's just getting the door, Carol, yourself, and myself on the call. Do you know if anybody else is coming on, Jabari? Have you heard of anybody else?
No.
Okay, well, I'm thinking that when Rob gets back, we should start. We have seven. That's, you know, more than a quorum. So, yeah, I think we should get started. Also, Jabari, just so you know, the webcast is up and running.
Is this a committee meeting or a full board
meeting? No, this is a full board meeting.
Okay.
So, you know, everybody was given the notice about the meeting, and we hope they'd be on it. So we're just waiting for Rob. Waiting for Rob. Sounds like a good novel title.
Sounds almost like a Grateful Dead tune, you know, for dead air. Waiting for Rob. It's almost a thematic, you know, sort of. So there will be a bylaws show on WBAI at 3 o'clock this Tuesday, and I've been invited to speak on it. Carol and Rob, I believe both of you will be there as well. Is that correct?
Yes.
Very good. I'll be lucky enough to be in the studios, traipsing across New York territory here without anyone's permission or passport. But it really is great to be inside the studios of WBAI, and the last time I was there was January 11th when we did that incredible move. And to come back yesterday, the other day, Friday, whenever it was, to be in there was such an extraordinarily moving experience because it's the people are very happy, and it's really got a great energy there.
Yeah, it's definitely different than it was a year ago. Okay, who's that?
Teresa.
Oh, hi, Teresa. We weren't sure if you were going to make it.
This course is designed so that
okay.
Minds
so, Rob, are you back yet?
And that's what I try to do. Yeah. That's what we try to do.
Okay, well, Teresa, so you know, we have yourself, George, Pete, David,
what I think about the
Rob, who went to answer his front door, Carol, Jabari, and myself on the call now. And the webcast is running. People have already heard this 8 times. It's on WBIX and Radio for Houston. It's on both of them right now. So, and again, we want to thank those folks for helping us out. Well, I don't know what happened to Rob. Maybe he was an alien at the door and he's been abducted.
I certainly hope not. Might have been one of Ashcroft's minions, though.
All right.
Now, have we heard, is James Ferguson or Bert Lee or, I mean, I hate to tempt fate and say, ask about Dick Gregory or Marion going to be on this? Has anyone spoken with any of them?
I haven't heard from any of them. I don't know. I guess we should have asked on Friday or reminded people about the call today, but we didn't, so.
Well, the notice of both meetings went out simultaneously, so.
Yeah, no, I know, but then,
yeah.
You know, we certainly gave people notice. Well, I'm thinking, I don't know what happened to Rob, but I'm thinking maybe we should get going and he'll catch up. I mean, he knows what the issues are. I'm just, you know, it's 10 after now. I hate to delay the call here.
I would like to wait for Rob.
Okay.
Please.
Okay.
Hi, I'm back. This is Rob.
Good. Oh, great, Rob. We were just waiting for you. So we have on the phone Teresa, George, Pete, David, Rob, Carol, Jabari, and myself, Leslie. And with that, that's 8 people, certainly more than a quorum. It's unfortunate that others aren't on the call or on the call yet, but I think we really need to get going. So this call, this meeting, is about the bylaws, specifically about the process around the bylaws in terms of the upcoming board meeting. And what I'd like to do is ask Carol, maybe as the chair of the Bylaws Revision Committee, to lay out the concern. And then, Carol, if you have a particular motion to make, that we can then focus the discussion around that, or proposal to make, then we can focus around that. I know there's also a second concern that Carol raised via email in the last few days or so, and I believe you want to make a motion on that issue, too, about because it relates to the bylaws matter of a motion to put a moratorium on adding people to the local advisory boards around the system. So as far as I know, those are the two items.
I want to make a motion, too.
Okay,
I
what's
have a
that?
Proposal on the process.
Oh, right. Okay.
Actually,
on the process.
I didn't want to make a motion, but I did want to just kind of lay out the concerns that I have and
okay.
some ideas that I have about perhaps a way to proceed, and to hear if others have, such as Rob, have other ideas, and then perhaps formulate a motion after some discussion. My overview of where we are right now is that we have three proposals that have been put forward by IPNB members, two of which I know, one of which has been revised already, and a revised version is out, and I know David, that's the draft B, and draft C, Dave Fertig's draft is also being revised. So we have three things, three proposed bylaws out there.
Excuse
we
me, Carol?
Also, yes.
Houston just put out theirs.
Right, and I we also have, from the KPFT committee, a proposal. We have a proposal from Ted Weisball, who spun off from the KPFT committee and made a proposal, which was forwarded to the board. I also understand we are about to receive a proposal from the KPFK committee.
Yeah, there's a proposal being drafted by a few people at the KPFK bylaws committee.
Right, and we also received the constituency model proposal from New York. So we have three official proposals from IPNB members, two additional proposals coming from committees, and the constituency model and the Weisball model. We have to...
Carol, can I also... I think that I didn't actually read it, but I thought Bob Lederer from New York also posted something. I'm not sure if it was a full-blown proposal or just some...
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
I think all of these things, I believe all of these things have been forwarded to, the ones we have so far have been forwarded to all IPNB members. What I am hoping we can do is try to put together a document, a one document, that shows the proposals that we choose to consider at the September meeting, which may not be all of these, I don't know, side by side, perhaps in three columns, with equivalent sections shown next to each other so that we can evaluate the sections one by one and see which we might want to adopt and which we might not and whether we want to adopt any of them, and vote section by section and then try to put that document into one coherent form with consistent language for another final vote, which would have to take place at another meeting of the board, or send that document out to the labs and see if three of the five labs will support it or not. That's going to be a big issue.
I have the last thing.
I have two other things that I think we need to consider. One is whatever we do, we're going to have to subject it to legal review to make sure the end result is consistent, the language is consistent throughout, and that it conforms to California requirements of bylaws. We also need a legal opinion as to whether proportional representation voting is legal for California corporations if we choose to go that route. Many people are urging us to do that. Also, whether a proposal on diversity criteria following the Berkeley model is legal for California corporations. I don't know if it is. And also, if there is any legal language that could be formulated that would do what the constituency model that's been put forward asks us to do. We received a $5,000 grant a few months ago to cover legal costs for this. It was supposed to be earmarked for that.
Who received it?
The Pacifica Foundation received a $5 grant from the Carlin Fund, and roughly, I think, back in April or May, to help cover or defray the legal costs of on the bylaws. I estimate, I think we can get a good legal review, somewhere between $5,000 and $15,000, hopefully at the lower end. We don't have a lawyer, however, on board yet to do that, and perhaps we would want to decide today how to proceed with that. And then, as you mentioned, Leslie, the third thing I would like to bring forward, not as a motion but as a topic of discussion, is the adding of new lab members a month or two before the vote on the bylaws. Some concerns have been raised by a good number of people who I think may be overreacting, but one thing we do have to be aware of is public perception of the fairness of the process, because confidence in the process is what will make it work. And so the issue has been raised. New members have been added in the last month or two to the Los Angeles and Washington labs, and Houston is about to add new members. And the question is, do we want to place a moratorium now on any further additions to the labs until after this vote takes place? I don't have a position on that exactly, although I am concerned about public perception here. So that's an overview of things I'd like to discuss this meeting, and I don't have a motion to make because I'm really open to suggestions about how others can proceed.
Okay, so if it's okay with people, can we take those?
Does anybody else come on the call? I'm sorry, Leslie.
Right. No, Teresa did, I think.
No. While Leslie, pardon me, while Kara was speaking.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did somebody else get on the call?
Yeah, Ray.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't need to click.
How you doing?
Good, good. Okay, so we have Teresa, George, Pete, David, Ray, Rob, Carol, Jabari, and myself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if that's okay, are there other issues that people want to put on the table? For instance, Rob, you said you had a motion. Does it come under one of these three categories? That is?
Yes.
Okay, so we can just take these three categories, and then when it's appropriate, you'll raise your motion.
Sure. I want to talk about the process of how we proceed from here. I want to make a motion in regard to that.
Okay. In relation to the board meeting or more generally?
In relation to developing a bylaw.
Well, why don't you
just
put it out now then? So we know what it is.
Okay, we've now got three drafts that have been provided us by bylaws, subcommittees, and or, I guess, four if you consider drafts that have been submitted by members of of this committee. We've got KPFA and a WPFW and a KPFT draft, and then David Fertig has presented a narrative, and we may see some other stuff. What we'd like to suggest is that since we put out the first iteration of this, and much of what we've seen in the subsequent drafts that have come out of the subcommittees has built on that, we'd like to take the most recent draft, which we think is the KPFT draft, which has the most consensus from the three subcommittees, and develop a draft. Somebody else come in?
I'm on. I'm just on a different phone.
Okay.
I have to turn my computer on.
Okay.
So we'd like to take that draft, the KPFT draft, and make sure that we have and do another draft that incorporates that basically is written in the form of bylaws with articles and you know all of the text in the articles, as well as a side-by-side comparison of the articles, the structure, the governance items that are included in each, and the areas of consensus, and say by early next week have a draft that's going to look more like KPFT than anything else, because KPFT incorporates most of the features from KPFA and WPFW that we've seen at this point. And then we will have conversations with each of the subcommittees to make sure that draft represents consensus by the members of this committee and the subcommittees that have prepared drafts, and then we'll review that with them to make sure that we haven't done violence to what they're talking about, and at the end then of next week, toward the end of next week, this committee can reconvene and vote that draft up or down. And then that draft can be presented to the board. If there are any subcommittees that feel that they want to present their own version or a different version of their version, that's fine. But we'd like to have this committee present a bylaws draft in bylaws language and format to the board at the September meeting that's based on the areas of consensus.
Point of clarification. First of all, I'm not sure if Carol's version B was a KPFA committee version or if it was Carol's own.
It was a committee version.
And as far as, Rob, you mentioned that I'd done a narrative. I actually did a full draft of bylaws. I don't know if you'd seen that or not. I sent a full draft of bylaws out that encompassed virtually all the points,
mm-hmm.
but it was also contained a narrative introduction, and at the end it contained maybe a couple of dozen points of just sort of basically sort of saying what's inside or what's intended to be encompassed, sort of a summary. But the body of it was a full, I think, 11-page set of bylaws.
That's fine. Then we'll use that rather than your narrative, obviously. But what I'm proposing is a process that would incorporate that, but the process would remain the same.
This is Teresa. I also have a resolution that I'm trying to get to pull up on my computer, and it suggests, I think that Ted Weisko has mentioned it to you, Carol. It has to do with the people from all five listeners groups coming in and describing their bylaws and the board listening to that, so they could choose one to submit to us. Somewhat like if you have a constitutional, I guess, amendment. I have to kick it out, I tried to do a speakerphone thing, and now I have to get back into my computer to kick it out to read it to you. So maybe I can bring that up later.
I have one question about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Teresa, is it yours personally, or is it the official KPFT?
Well, if I bring it up later, it would be officially from me.
I
would like to hear some of this discussion to see whether this might be an appropriate solution to some of the problems that we have, where we have so many different ideas, and we have some difficulties in the five different listening areas to communicate with each other and us to hear the different sides at one time so we can make up our mind.
Let me, if I could just inject here two things. One is that we are, according to the present bylaws that we work under, my understanding of this is that bylaws changes need to, or, you know, proposals for changing bylaws need to be presented or given to the board members 10 days in advance. This I'm speaking specifically to what Rob said and also somewhat to what Teresa was saying, that the hope was to have some document in the packet, which needs to be in the office by this coming Friday, the 6th, so that over the weekend, actually, copies can be made and collated and put together and prepared to distribute on, you know, to FedEx out to people on Monday the 9th, so they have it on the 10th, which would be 10 days ahead, and that's pretty tight. That assumes that FedEx doesn't mess up anything. So that's just one thing that we have to keep in mind. The other issue, or the other thing I wanted to say, is that it seems like, and maybe I'm missing something here, it seems that what Carol was saying and what Rob was saying were pretty similar. Whatever the starting text is of bylaws, that it would be laid out in such a way as to show the other options or the other ideas or proposals that are being put forth. So for Article 1, Article 2, Article 3, whatever, it would all be laid out so that people could see fairly easily what the differences or similarities were from the different proposals. Is that right? Were both of you saying sort of similar things in that regard?
Well, I think that was how we thought the process, that's the process that we were originally following on this committee.
Yeah, procedurally, Leslie, if I might, this is Dave Furtick.
Yeah.
If we have, I think we're looking at basically then maybe more, but at least the four from stations KPFA, KPFT, WPFW, and the KPFK bylaws subcommittee draft, and then the A, B, and C, and I hear of a couple of others, if those are all presented as sort of proposals or propositions, then they all qualify, and the provision of those drafts, are sufficient as, quote, notice, unquote. The work that needs to be done after the 10th, perhaps, or during, between now and the meeting,
right,
is developing a chart correlating the comparative features. But I don't think that we need to, that correlation is necessary in order for them to be timely presented to the board.
So, okay,
so
let me just, Carol, do you want to answer?
Yeah, I don't know that I, if I understand what you just said, Dave. I don't know if we looked at these proposals side by side, for instance, how to define a member, or, for instance, how to elect a local board, or, for instance, how to elect the board of directors, those proposals, we might find that the section of the bylaws in one draft suited us as to one thing, and the section in another draft of the bylaws suited us as to another one of those issues. I had thought that it might be possible for the board to lay out the proposals side by side with equivalent sections next to each other, which would mean perhaps reordering the article numbers so that they're consistent or something, or leaving the article numbers blank so that they could be filled in later, so that the board would actually look at the options that have been presented all together, and perhaps, and I think, vote section by section of the bylaws, rather than attempting to adopt all a full set of bylaws whole hog, but actually looking at each element of the bylaws.
Right.
Yeah, mix and match.
Carol, let me just clarify though what I thought David was saying, and David, you can correct me if I'm wrong. What I thought he was saying is that it meets our legal requirement to provide the material 10 days in advance, even if it's not laid out in that format that Carol and Rob also were suggesting, that would be easier for us to digest.
Uh-huh.
If all the material is included in the packet, then before the board meeting, there would be more time to do that kind of layout that Carol was just describing.
Precisely. And if we tried to all make sure that all the drafts embrace the same article sort of definitions that are in A, B, and C, that would make it easier to correlate.
One other thing, however, and that is if there are any board members who cannot be in Houston, which I understand perhaps Pete may not. I don't know if there are any others.
I'll be there.
Oh, okay. Well, then this
fantastic.
This may be a moot point, but the law requires us to serve with the notice of the meeting the proposed bylaws to be voted upon. And any member who cannot be at the meeting is permitted to vote by ballot, by submitting their ballot marked as to which sections they like and get it to the chair before the meeting. That's what the law provides, but if there's nobody who's going to miss the meeting, then that doesn't really matter. But if you see what I'm saying, the formality of how to vote would be perhaps simplified if we could get the various sections of the various bylaws lined up next to each other so that equivalent sections are shown.
Now, I have a question concerning what you just said. Now, suppose there's some compromise worked out whereas we come up with a model that is radically different or substantially different from whatever that person had endorsed. How does that vote apply at that point?
I think, and Dave, you may correct me if you see it differently, but I believe what we have to do, if we at the board meeting adopt something that wasn't presented to the board 10 days in advance, that can only be a provisional vote, and we would have to then again convene another meeting with notice to everybody of the exact wording we had adopted and vote on it again. That's my understanding of the law.
Is somebody dialing a phone in the background?
Yes.
Oh.
It's my understanding of the law that we cannot adopt bylaws at the meeting that were not sent to the full board 10 days in advance.
Carol, Dave Furtiger, would you happen to have the corporate code site on that?
Send it to you.
Well, if you could rattle it off to me. I have the code here, but
I don't have it with me.
Okay.
I would have to.
I'm not familiar with that provision, but you say you researched that and that is a requirement?
You know, I have to look at exactly where I got this. I got it out of either the corporation code or our own bylaws or both.
Well, but if that's true, it seems to me that is manageable, that we could, you know, do what the work that we need to do over the weekend, you know, at the meeting, and come to whatever, you know, if, let's say, we come to agreement on bylaws, that if somebody missed the meeting, that we could send that, you know, out to everybody on the board again, convene a phone conference call within a week or 10 days, whatever, and have that be the agenda item to vote on that item, on the bylaws.
I'd like to propose a motion.
Yes.
There's already a proposal on the floor.
Well, I'm sorry.
Bertley's checking in.
Did someone just get
in?
Bert Lee's on the phone.
Hi, Bert.
Hi, everybody. Now, before you move, one thing I wanted to say is that...
Wait. I just want to clarify something. Rob, what you said before was in the form of a motion?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought it was just a suggestion.
Sure. My concern is that I think that this committee, you know, has a responsibility to produce something that reflects the consensus of our subcommittees and give it to the board in bylaws format. If I think there's a chance, if we do that, that the board is going to be able to adopt something, you know, with or without minor changes that we have to ratify subsequently. If we simply give the board, you know, five or six different versions of the bylaws, I'm not sure that the board is going to be able to manage that, you know, in the process of going through a meeting. I don't think that will be a good way of managing it. If there's one document that reflects the consensus of this committee, I think it will be easier for them to look at that document, look at where the different versions have differed, and then make determinations if they want to reopen things and plug stuff in and out in an organized fashion. But if they're looking at a multiplicity of documents, I don't think they're going to be able to operate coherently. The other thing is that the process that we had at the subcommittee level has provided for, you know, thousands of people to be involved in either submitting drafts or working with the subcommittees and with us, with the members of the board on this committee in developing something that reflects the consensus at the signal area level. So while there are a number of other versions of bylaws that are floating around, I think the process was inclusive and all-embracing enough, and if people seriously want the board to do other things and other bylaw drafts, they can bring these forward as amendments to the bylaws.
Rob, could you just state exactly what your motion is, so we're all clear what the motion is?
The motion is that we would like to take the KPFT model, which is the most inclusive model of the bylaws, in incorporating the consensus items that all of the subcommittees have presented, you know, and within a week take a draft that incorporates all of the other elements from David Furtig's model, from the KPFA model, from the WPFW model, from the KPFT model, and has one model that represents the bylaws in bylaw format that represents the consensus. The other document that we will have would be a side-by-side comparison of the articles, of the substantive elements within them, and the areas of consensus, so that people can look at where there were differences in the structure, either in terms of the article names or the number of articles or what was within those articles, and look at areas of consensus. And we would go over that with the subcommittees to make sure that we incorporated all of the things that they were proposing. And then this committee would vote again in a couple of weeks to adopt, you know, to support that version as something that reflects the sense of this committee.
Okay.
But
I just need a point of clarification, though, if I might. Rob, is this proposal that you're making, the motion you're making, to do this by Friday, by the 6th?
If that's what we have to do to get a version that incorporates it to the board, that's what we have to do to get a version that incorporates it so that it can be sent out to the board.
I have a question.
And I will second that motion.
George seconded.
All right. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I got the KPFT model last night. I had a lot of trouble with my email and so was actually, it was trying to come through, but I couldn't download it. I have not had a chance to read it. I don't know yet. I haven't seen it to see what it does and doesn't incorporate, and I haven't, you know, I don't know if anyone else has had a chance to read it on this committee.
This is Jabari. I've had a chance to read it. I've read it. I downloaded it, too. I read it this morning.
Good. Okay. Has anyone else had an opportunity to read it?
I have.
I have not.
I have not. This is Dave. I have not been, had a chance to read it. I've not even seen Carol's revision. I've been traveling.
Right.
And I really don't, I think it would be, I mean, I'd be strenuously against using a model that I haven't seen.
Dave, I mean, you checked your email.
There was, there were, the revision of the KPFA committee proposal also came out last night, which is, I think, one that incorporates the proposal that came out of from Dave Furtig out of KPFK and many of these items from the original draft A.
I should note that the KPFK bylaw subcommittee model is really a revision of, Carol, of your version B, only it takes all staff representation out, among other dramatic.
Well, we haven't seen that. It hasn't come out yet.
Oh, I think it just came out like night or two ago. I mean, it's all fresh.
From KPFT or KPFK?
The KPFK bylaws subcommittee, which is frankly very different from anything that I had ever proposed, and it's substantially different from what you had proposed, but it's built from your model to some degree.
All right. So we've got, I'm messed up, but I don't remember seeing the model from, oh, yes, it did. It came from Margalow. Yes, it did, and I forwarded it to everyone a couple of days ago. So we've got three models that are attempting to be a reconciliation. We have the one that just came out of the KPFT subcommittee, which many of us have not had a chance to read, the one that came out of the KPFK subcommittee, which I have to admit I have not had a chance to read, and the one that just came out from the KPFA subcommittee also. So what are we going to do?
Can you hear me?
Hello? Yeah.
Not well.
Barely.
Not well, though.
This is Teresa. I wanted you to know that I have talked some...
I'm sorry, Teresa. Can you speak louder?
This is Teresa. I've talked some to the bylaws committee. I'm not the bylaws committee. It's the governance group. They want you to know that we don't really consider ours finished. For one thing, we just got the Berkeley revisions, and that there are lots of things in it that we like, but we didn't have time to adjust to those things. Just wanted you to know.
Okay.
Is there not a vote on the floor? This is Berkeley.
No.
There's a discussion.
There is a motion on the floor.
There is a motion on the floor, and it has been seconded, but we are discussing it now.
Oh, okay. I had to go off for a minute. I didn't know what you were doing.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Can I speak to the issue?
Yeah, sure.
Mr. DeBar, I read the KPFT. They had about four documents in the whole package. They had a table of contents, which I thought was good, where they just basically, as a book, listed Article 1, Section that in the titles. I think that's something that would lead to great clarity just as an organizational first step. And my thoughts were that because they had more actual articles than we had in the WPFW model, because they had gotten to certain issues that we hadn't. In fact, we were just starting to put more detail into that. It would be good that, kind of like what Carol has suggested when she was started, that we first consolidate on a format and structure of articles and sections so that we know off the top what the issues would be, where each issue would go under in a formal way as far as a bylaw article. So if Article 4 and one person's proposal was Article 6. We just consolidate all that so that we come up with a standard article section format, so we know what topics will go. And then, if there are topics and issues that are unique to one, then they can be given a different article number. And that we basically, on a page by page basically put each article on a separate page, all the different versions for that particular article topic that would be consolidated under that topic, and we first do that. Then after we get everything that speaks to that topic, then we can begin to manage it, and we can begin to then vote on a article-by-article basis, because we have identified all the topics, and we've identified the format and structure under which the topics will be listed, so that we don't have to go back and then revise that document, because if there are any new topics, they would come under a new amendment.
Your point's made, I think.
So that was the basis.
Right.
So we could keep going and do what Carol suggested, that we can begin to create a hybrid acceptance of not only just the structure but the content as we keep going.
Right. I just want to ask, is there somebody on this call right now, or a group of people, who feel that they can do all that work and have it done by this Friday?
Line them up article by article.
Right.
That's easy for me.
That's what we're proposing to do.
Yes.
Right. That's what I want. Because if that can be done and therefore included in the packet, great. You know, I just want to know how that's going to get done.
Well, right. What we need to know is which versions to line up. The KPFT model that just came out, the KPFA model that just came out. These are both hybrids. And is there another model that we need to include? Do we want to put the KPFK model, subcommittee model, and or Dave Fertig's model, which is not finally revised? Do we want two, three, or four models lined up side by side?
If I might, my version C was a complete document, and all of these are organic documents, and they're going to be revised. Mine is not being revised that dramatically, and so I would prefer it not be characterized as not a revised version. I mean, it is there. It is what it is.
Do you want to use it in its present form is my question.
I'm sorry?
Do you want to use it in its present form?
Well, sure, or the form that I'm going to upload in a day or two when I get back into town. But the point is that what I'm saying is that if we use one model as a primary model, I think that's unfair. And I think that particularly if we use one which some of us haven't even seen yet, which I think was at the core of Rob's motion. But if the people are willing to do the work, to do the grid or chart, what have you, I know that A, B, and C all use the same article numbers, and I believe that the KPFK bylaws subcommittee one that's penned by Margot Ferrand is also using the same article numbers, and I trust that KPFA and WPFW's version, if that's different from the A model, all use the same article numbers, then we just grid them out instead of using one as though it were a primary model. And that's all I'm saying. I think that the rest of it is consistent with Rob's suggestion.
Rob, can you respond to that? Do you feel okay with what Dave said?
Yeah, I think I understand what he's saying. What we're trying to do is we're trying to identify the articles, the topics they deal with, the substantive items that are contained in it, and the areas of consensus, and build something that is structured around where we have consensus. Now, there may be some of the models, David, may have other topics or other article section names. In some cases, those things may be synonymous. In some cases, they'll be different. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to produce a document that your version, your revised version, Carol's revised version, the revised version that we're working on now, the KPFT version, and anything else that's come forward from a subcommittee or a committee member, and create one thing that has that one draft that's textually written as bylaws that contains the areas of consensus. Then, in addition to that, we'll have a spreadsheet that shows what each proposal, where the proposals, you know, how the proposals are laid out and where there are areas of difference.
This is
Ray.
I mean, there are ways to slice and dice these things, David, and we'd be happy to talk to you about the best way to present it and talk to Carol about the best way of presenting it. But, you know, basically what we want to look at is a set of bylaws that reflects consensus about the articles, the structure of the articles, and the substance, you know, as well as something that we can look at to see comparisons. And that way, we can distribute that, and after it's been distributed in the packets, we can continue to talk to the subcommittees and members of this committee about specific issues that they may want to propose to fine-tune or amend things.
Exactly. Can I say something?
Okay. Carol was next, and then Ray.
Okay.
Based on what I have seen so far, there is a convergence towards a similar approach going on. I don't know yet that we can identify a consensus. That's where I'm actually echoing Dave Furtick here. I don't think that we could put together one document with consistent language at this point that takes elements from all of them and rewrites them or does something to express the refinements of the ideas that have been put forth both by Dave Furtick and in the revised KPFA model. And I don't know what the KPFT subcommittee draft says yet because I haven't seen it, read it. So I am with Dave Furtick. What I would like to see done would be for us to decide which draft we are going to present, whether it's going to be KPFT, KPFK subcommittees, the Furtick model, and the KPFA, a revised draft.
And Ms. Dean, if I get a little...
Yeah, I haven't finished. I'm sorry. I can visually see it. For instance, we would have a table of contents of articles by the title of the article and not number them, but just put them in order because they are not consistent, one model, one draft to another. But we would then put each article of each draft next to each other as to whatever the title of that article was, whether it was in the same order in each draft or not, doesn't much matter because we can renumber them once we've seen them all and get them in proper order. But we need to know which models we're going to consider. The KPFT subcommittee, which Teresa just says is not completed yet.
Although I met with them yesterday, and they felt pretty good about it. I mean,
all right.
Teresa was not at that meeting. I was.
Okay, good. All right. The KPFT subcommittee draft, the Furtick draft, the KPFA revised draft, and the KPFK subcommittee draft are on the table. Do we want to put them all four side by side? I do not know at this point that there is a consensus that could be developed as to which one we would use for a template. That's why I want them all four.
There are areas where we will not have consensus, and there are areas where we are. What we're proposing is a draft that reflects the consensus.
And then side by side, where there's an item that is not consensus on, the alternative ideas would be laid out.
Yeah.
There's specific language in each one of these drafts, specific words used. Those words have meaning, and they are consistent with the rest of draft A or draft B or draft C. And that's why I think what we have to do is get all four of them or all three of them or all two of them laid out side by side, delivered to the board with the notice of the meeting. And then at the meeting, we will develop a consensus. We will go through article by article which drafts a majority of this board, which wording a majority of this board supports, and then bring that into one final document for a subsequent meeting. That's
okay,
what I think.
Ray was next.
Yeah. Now, I've gotten calls from people telling me that they really like the Texas the model that Rob is talking about. Now, unfortunately, because I haven't looked at it, I'm kind of uncomfortable accepting a structure that I haven't looked at personally yet. So it seems to me in the absence of that, that what Carol is saying might be the solution, that we put them together and that we decide which one we would use as a framework, if any of them at all. I'm assuming that we would have one. One thing I'd like to ensure, though, because of the reality of WBAI, and I'm almost sure that Janice K would back me up on that, having taken part in this meeting, and maybe Leslie also, sometimes we split, you know, almost down the middle about issues, so that any draft that we would have written would have to have both sides of issues. However, that being said, I think feel very strongly that the ideas that we have discussed, we have had at least 20 meetings, and there has to be room for them to be represented, either as modification of existing language or addition and whatever. So I do want to make sure that what we're discussing includes the flexibility to have ideas that are not part of the formal proposal included?
It doesn't really, Ray. There's a problem, which is that with the notice of the meeting,
yes,
we have to have the written language the board is going to consider. We could. That's why I actually...
What I'm saying then is that I want to be part of any discussion that would be going over this material to make sure that the ideas that I've heard, that people have fought and argued and passionate about, are reflected, are at least being heard by everybody else.
Right.
On the other hand, Ray, it seems to me that where there is a consensus, we, in order to get this document finished, it is reasonable for us to rely upon a person or a group of people who will bring them all together into one document. Not only one document, sorry, but in one form.
That's okay. I'm saying is that I want to be one of those people, and I'm saying it should not just include one of the proposals, one of the formal proposals.
Yeah.
Let me just,
if I get on the list, Leslie, please.
Yes, okay. Let me call on myself and then David. That I think what I'm hearing, and I think this can work, is that a wording on bylaws be presented, be included in the packet, and whether or not the articles are numbered, whatever, but titled, right? Article re election of labs, article regarding composition of national board, whatever the categories are, that specific language be laid out there, whether it's from the KPFT model or whatever the starting point is, you know, one bylaw set would be written out. Where there are other models or other language, those would be laid out so that for an article that deals with a certain issue where there are two or three different proposals for language, we would have before us all of those proposals because they'd all be laid out on some grid.
I want to get after Dave.
Okay. So it seems to me we would be given all the possible, at least thought of so far, proposals that we would be asked to consider. If all that could be done this week, it seems to me that that could meet both the legal requirement and facilitate an easier, more, a clearer discussion and process when we actually gather in Houston.
I'd like to get on the list.
Okay, so we have David, Carol, George.
Yeah, no, I would tend to agree. I think that if we laid out the A, B, and C models, each of which were, as I perceive them in any event, to have been made by, Rob, Carol, and myself, that is committee members, based on the research that we've done, our attendance at meetings, and so forth, plus the models which have been propounded by the bylaws subcommittees in the various regions, whatever those may be, and if WBAI does not have a proposed model or set of models, then, you know, hopefully the concerns that those people have would be reflected in some of the other models, or if WBAI comes up with something. But the point is that we have those seven or eight models correlated. My concern really is that we not select one model of those to be a guiding or pilot model, because A, it gives some preeminence, and second of all, as far as KPFT model goes, is something that we haven't seen. But my second concern is that in interpreting or analyzing these, we take great care, or whoever does it takes great care in not editorializing in their assertion or characterization of the various components, because that really does affect, as we all know, I mean, we're in the journalism business, and I think we need to be really careful about how when someone says, well, here, this article provides thus and such, well, the articles speak for themselves, and I would hope there not be too much editorializing. So to summarize, I would say that if we do a grid or a chart that correlates the provisions of A, B, and C, and any of the models put forth by the subcommittees, and have that prepared by next week, weekend, Friday, whatever, then we do that without having a single sort of preeminent model propounded.
Okay. Carol and then George.
I agree with Dave. I actually don't think that we can have a master model where the language would then, various options would be presented separately. I think every single model that I've seen so far is a master model. It has bylaws from beginning to end that are mutually consistent and presents a framework for adopting bylaws. So my suggestion is that we decide which proposals we are going to include. And
which proposals, plural?
Which models we're going to lay out in this grid.
Okay, plural, though.
The KPFT subcommittee model that just came out, the KPFA revised draft that just came out, the KPFK draft that just came out. And there is some language regarding a constituency model that the board does need to consider, but I think we need legal review on how to word it, which we don't have. And I don't know, Rob, if you are now endorsing the KPFT model and don't want the original draft that you put out laid in, or if you don't, I do. I'm not sure, but we need to just settle on three or four models and line them up next to each other with equivalent sections, one next to the other. I think we should not number the articles. We should just put them in consistent order, number them later, because they are numbered differently, model from model. And is it vote on section by section on each of the proposals that are out there to arrive at a consensus. I don't think we have a consensus yet.
Okay, George.
I believe that our KBFT model does have consensus with other versions.
Well, I think KPFA revised does too, so which do we choose?
Well, Maya, but we haven't seen...
Wait.
I'm the one who...
Sorry, let George finish.
Sorry.
Thank you very much.
Sorry.
And I would hope that in trying to actually accomplish what has been our court-ordered mandate in a timely way, we can come to a consensus on a consensus model, and that is the KPFC model. And let's move forward. Let's finish what we started, and I believe that what Rob's proposal accomplishes that.
This is Ray. Can I speak?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I'm trying to reformulate the statement a bit earlier, because it seems to be excluded still. Maybe one way to think of it is that assuming, it might be possible, but assuming that there's some vital issues that all models presented have missed, clearly there would have to be a way for us to include that. If somebody pointed that to us, we couldn't be rigidly just consider what's in front of us and say, well, if it's not part of the model, we can't consider it. So what I'm saying is that instead of waiting for that moment of crisis to actually correct it, I'm saying that this process be enacted earlier so that there's room for other ideas. So that it is possible that as we discuss it, whatever compromise we arrive to includes all the ideas that I've heard very strongly expressed to us during those many meetings. I'm just wanting to go beyond what Dave said, that hopefully. I don't want to be hopeful that these ideas will be included. I want them to be heard to the extent that it's different enough if we feel that they're strongly, you know, that they're worthwhile listening to, being listened to, and that they be waiting in the process of making decisions and coming to a consensus.
Can I offer a suggestion here? I don't know if it will work or not, but it seems to me that we're actually not too far apart here on what needs to happen. I think everybody agrees that on the issues where there are divergent ideas or different ideas, that the different ideas and proposals need to be laid out in a way so we can actually compare them against each other, and that will facilitate our discussion and decision making in Houston. So the difference we have right now in the conversation as I hear it is whether or not the KPFT model is put forth as a consensus model, and then where there are other ideas, those are laid out appropriately. One suggestion I might make is that even if we start with the KPFT model and then lay out next to it, you know, where there are different ideas, if we don't call that a consensus model, especially since some of us, I know myself included, have not had a chance to even read it yet, that instead of calling it a consensus model, it's just laid out first on the page, and then in a grid next to it are, you know, the other issues, the other ideas that come out of the other models.
If I may?
Yes.
There is specific, there's specific wording in each of the models. They're not just ideas. They're words.
No, I mean, I'm sorry. Take the specific language from each model.
Right.
Lay that
so
out.
I see a grid with the specific language from each of the proposals laid out side by side. That's a document that can be compiled. I don't think there is a consensus model yet. I think that the KPFA model responded to a lot of feedback and attempted to provide a consensus model. The KPFT model, likewise, but we haven't, nobody's had a chance to review either of those. So I don't think there is any model yet that can take, say, well, this is the draft we're working from. We have to have all the drafts next to each other.
Okay, Rob?
Yeah, perhaps I'm not making myself clear. We're trying to create something that one bylaw draft which does not exist now, okay, which incorporates as many of the areas of consensus as possible. That will have numbers, that will have titles of governance areas, there will be broad topics of governance that each one will address, and there will be specific substantive issues in there. We're suggesting to prepare one version that represents the consensus of all of these models as much as possible. I think it's going to be the KPFT model, but by the time you get done putting things in where people agree to it, it may be the David Fertig model. I don't know. But basically,
but you haven't read my model yet, Rob, so how would you know?
Okay, I said maybe.
I said I don't know.
Can I read another word?
Rob, are you done?
So that's what I'm proposing to do, is to create something that represents consensus from this committee that we can send to the board. The board can add or subtract things. What I am not proposing is to prepare something that's got 1,000 different cut and paste versions that the board can mix and match during a board meeting. That's not what I'm proposing. What I'm proposing is to prepare one thing that incorporates as much consensus as possible, but only the consensus. And we can highlight what the differences are, but we're trying to present one thing that represents the areas of consensus. That was what this committee was supposed to do to begin with, and I think we have a responsibility, if we're going to be accountable to the board, to give them a draft that represents the consensus. I think if we give them a whole bunch of stuff to mix and match, it's going to be a nearly impossible task.
Okay, David?
I think it's a nearly impossible task to begin with. I don't think we're changing anything. You know, Rob, my concern with your proposal is, and I wish you would consider an amendment, my concern with your proposal is it does give preeminence to one draft, but even setting that aside, it presupposes that a group of people can sit down and interpret the thrust of the various other bylaws provisions and say, well, they're roughly the same, or they're similar enough to be a consensus. As an attorney, as someone who's drafted many bylaws in my day, I dare say that, no offense, Rob, I know you're a smart guy, but I don't trust a layperson's analysis of the legal language of a bylaws to make the assumption that there is indeed consanguinity between the various provisions, because there's very subtle and nuanced wording involved. And I think that we really need to make sure we have everything on the table so that we can effectuate a vote. As sloppy as you might feel it is, or as difficult as it might appear to be, to work from a grid with the various components, I think it gives us the ability to say, indeed, we've given notice of the various provisions, and secondly, to be able to say, look, here it is on a board. Not one thing is given preeminence. There's no interpretation or editorializing of the various points. They are what they say they are, and I think that is a sensible way of going. It's tedious. It's difficult. Well, damn right it's difficult. That's why we're here to do it. And I think that if you were to alter your motion to merely say that instead of having a model that develops consensus, that we put all of the features together, if they're not in the same articles, they should be, but if they're not, fine, then we put them together, as Carol said, and we proceed from a grid. We can't say, well, you know, we'll pick A, not attending to what Z is going to mean, because it could have an effect. It will need to be a whole package, ultimately. I think we can start putting together the main points, and from those, the solution of the other problems should flow. It'll take a lot of time. We may not be able to do it all in Texas. because it may take a veritable constitutional convention to make it happen, but we can certainly start boiling it down. And so I would either speak against your motion, Rob, or suggest, if you would, to amend it to conform to that, in other words, a grid. Thank you.
That's it. Can I speak?
Yeah, I just wanted to know if Rob is open to amending his proposal.
No.
Okay, so who was next?
Jabari.
Yes, Jabari.
What I hear, I think there's a misunderstanding. Maybe the word consolidated draft may be more clarifying than the word consensus. We're not proposing to change any language in these structures. We're merely saying that, from in my reading of the Houston model and all the other ones, that there's certain just generic things that they all agree on. There needs to be a quorum. There needs to be a way to select members. There needs to be certain provisions and so forth. I'm not saying that that we decide on any one of those things. What we're acknowledging, though, that we have to have a draft, one document, so that we can, it would be better if we had one document for all of these ideas to be consolidated in. There will be a comparison laid out beside, because there are differences, and those differences need to be laid out side by side. But there's certainly no need to not decide on a formal structure such as article numbers, section numbers. We can do that, and we can start with the Houston model or any model, but we can do that. And there's no need to not do that, because it's not an either-or situation, Dave. It's not you do one and not the other, because the whole point is to bring clarity to the different issues, but to do it in a structured way so that we can easily or more easily fit it in the form of a formal bylaw structure.
Can I say something here? I think there's actually more agreement here than we may be hearing now. Maybe I'm just being overly optimistic. But I think we all agree that we need some mechanism to be able to look very clearly at those issues within the bylaws where there are differences. The question is whether or not we have before us one proposal of bylaws, and I think calling it a consensus model is perhaps not accurate at this point. We don't know if we have consensus, but one model of bylaws that then next to it would be the grid of where there are different proposed languages for the different issues, or whether or not we don't have one model and a grid, but we just have a grid. I mean, that's what I'm hearing as the two differences here. I'm not sure in practice, when we actually sit down and look at this stuff, it's going to make that much difference one way or the other. That we're still going to be confronted with, on some items, there are different ideas, different languages being proposed, and we're still going to have to deal with those differences.
Either way, we need the grid.
Either way, we need the grid. I think we all agree, right? We all agree we need the grid.
Mm-hmm.
The grid would be...
Right. So the question is, do we also need, in addition to the grid, a kind of, you know, a bylaws written out that the grid would be compared against?
I can't see the need for that, because each one of the proposals in the grid is bylaws written out.
Mm-hmm.
So you have column 1, column 2, column 3. And they are bylaws written out, and you read them from top to bottom in grid column 1, column 2, column 3, and look at the differences side by side.
Mm-hmm.
This is Teresa.
Which I'm happy to lay out.
Can you hear me?
Teresa, yeah. Again, you're very faint.
I'm sorry. My suggestion, I do want to reiterate that no matter how we discuss this, perhaps Thursday night we have an open meeting, and we can discuss this, and people can sit in the audience, and we can work through some of this. I just thought it might be a possibility for Thursday night in Houston.
Okay, let's come back to that point, because there's another suggestion, I think, to do that basically on Friday, you know, during the day on Friday, or a similar thing. So let's come back to that. Let's stay focused on this issue that we have before us now, the grid with... and model bylaws, or just the grid. I think that's what we're down to here.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish we were all in the same room. We could do a quick straw poll and see how divided we are.
This is Pete. Can I speak quickly?
Yes.
I would like to see a grid with a comparison. I've seen Max Planchet put something together like that, and it was very easily understood and very easily discernible to identify not only the differences but the consistencies. So that would be totally great for me.
Okay. I have not heard anybody speak against a grid. Does anybody want to speak against a grid? No. Okay, so we all agree we have the grid. So then we are left with the initial part of Rob's motion. Rob, can we not call it a consensus model?
Call it anything you want.
Okay, that a model bylaws be constructed.
That reflects the topics in the areas of consensus.
Could I suggest just right. a consolidated draft?
Whatever.
A consolidated draft bylaws. Be put together that would accompany that would be accompanied by the grid, right? Because
yeah.
we all agree there's a grid.
That's my
so
motion.
Can we just focus then on that issue, a consolidated draft bylaws? Okay, can we take a vote on it?
Yes.
Everybody ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So Teresa, again, you're number one.
Yes.
You're voting yes. I'm sorry, Teresa, I didn't hear you.
I said yes.
Yeah, okay, thanks. Okay, George?
Yes.
Marion is not on the call. Pete?
Yes.
Janice is not on the call. James is not on the call. David?
Yeah.
Dick is not on the call. Ray?
Yes.
Bert Lee? Bert, are you there? I guess Bert's got off the call. Rob?
Yes.
Carol?
Sure.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay, Jabari?
Yeah.
And myself, yes, we have agreement. One,
sure.
two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Nine yeses, and that's everybody who's on the call.
Sure, so, if I could.
Huh?
I'd like to clarify as to what drafts will be considered in this grid.
And also who is going to do all this, the grid and the consolidation.
I'll do the grid. I'd be happy to do the grid.
Okay, and I would like to ensure that drafts A, B, and C, and any drafts submitted by a bylaws subcommittee be included.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Draft A, B, and C, and any other drafts submitted by a bylaws committee be included.
All right, now my other question then is the consolidated draft. Are you proposing, Rob, that it is the KPFT model we haven't seen yet?
I think it will be the one that has the most consensus. I haven't seen David's latest, so that may be...
Well, mine was 10 days ago, Rob.
Okay, let's not worry about that right now. Who's going to do the consolidated version?
Well, I'd be happy to use the KPFT model as the consolidated version and lay out a grid next to it that references section-by-section equivalent sections. I can do that.
Okay.
And would some of us get to look at it before you formalize it?
Yeah, I'll send it to all board members. It'll be a large document for people to download.
Okay, so obviously, though, we're on a very fast timeline here because we want this included in the packet that goes out next Monday. So we, in order to not demand that our national staff work 24 hours a day over the weekend, right? We need to have this into the office by Friday.
All right.
Now, let me ask somebody, ask everybody, and I don't mean to complicate things, but my instinct tells me that it would be good. It doesn't have to necessarily be all mailed out in the packet, but at least brought to Houston, the original copies of each of these drafts, the full drafts that we're circulating.
Precisely. I think it needs to be in the board packet, and
okay.
I can get that to everybody.
So that everybody has them to refer to. We'll work from the grid and the consolidated version, but everybody can have them to refer back to. Is that okay with everyone?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're going to have to get together again and look at this and agree that it reflects what we're...
Sure.
Okay, great. So, terrific. So that was that the first agenda item. There are two other, actually, and then Teresa brought up another item too. That on the legal review question and legal opinions, the moratorium on lab members, and then the idea of further discussion in Houston Thursday night or Friday before the formal meeting of the board. So let's go to the legal review and getting legal opinions question.
Can I say something about that?
Yes, please.
Since the board's going to have to adopt something, and then it's going to after that it's going to have to send it to the local advisory boards, it would seem to me that the legal review can come after the board has adopted something that they think, you know, a version, let's call it a version that they agree with. Don't we want the legal review, in other words, to take place as close to the end of the process as possible?
Yeah, I agree.
Fine, yeah. Okay, but then there was also, when Carol mentioned, brought this up at the beginning of the meeting, legal opinion on some issues, proportional voting, diversity criteria, I forgot what else.
Well,
consensus model.
Carol, I have a question. I thought proportional voting was used in KPFA.
It was, but it wasn't part of the legal bylaws.
I see.
I don't know if we can actually put it in legal bylaws. It's a question we don't have an opinion on.
So the question is on these items, because we might want some or all of them included in the bylaws, should we try and get an opinion, you know, earlier in the process, do the final review of the whole package later, but get an opinion on these issues now?
Well, if I might, Dave Fertiger, I dare say anybody making a proposal for bylaws should vet the legality of their proposal.
Well, nobody's had the money to do that.
Well, I mean, just basic preliminary research, just so they can say there's no apparent illegality. I think Rob's right. We don't need to do a final, full, complete legal analysis with full research and all that until we know it's actually on the table. But I think that to do a preliminary vetting of the legality of it, in other words, you know, just do some quick research, a quick, you know, 20-minute research to see if there's any cases that have found it to be illegal. I don't think proportional voting, for example, is illegal because it's employed by other corporations. But, you know, that can be, you know, that's different from getting a housekeeping seal of approval on the whole thing by a lawyer.
Yeah. Now, the difficulty I see is if we're going to have it checked by for legal, the consent check, for being legal, and then we submit it to the labs, I suggest that we keep the labs involved with that process between now and then. Otherwise, we might wind up with a completely revised document.
Say again?
I'm saying that if we involve the labs really formally only after it's been checked for its legality of the document, we potentially could have a situation where the labs reject what we have.
That's right.
Right, but that's true regardless of.
I think all of our subcommittees have involved the labs as much as they've been willing to participate.
But in New York, it's been very little, unfortunately. Actually, I cannot tell you how things would be accepted or rejected.
Okay, but that's an issue regardless of whether or not we get legal opinions.
So I'm saying, do we get legal opinion after the lab gets to look at it, I'm saying.
I tend to agree with Rob. I think that if in Houston we go through section by section and adopt wording, this is going to have to be provisional. It can't be the final bylaws because we haven't seen a legal review. But we can see what provisions we want included in the bylaws. That would then be consolidated, sent to a lawyer, and sent to the lab. I don't know in which order.
Okay. Is there any disagreement with that right now? That we don't have to.
No.
We don't have to move to a lawyer right now. This
no.
is the process. Okay. So let's move on. I don't want to cut anybody off, but I would like to move on. The next issue is the issue of whether or not the interim national board should call for a moratorium on any additional people being seated on any of the labs, you know, the five listening areas. Right? That's the issue, right, Carol?
Yeah.
Yeah, David.
Is there a motion on the table?
I don't know if I want to make a motion. I want to ask this board.
I'll make a motion.
Well, I think it would be better to have some discussion before, maybe.
Well, you can discuss the motion before or after. I don't want to make a motion. I want to raise the issue and maybe take a straw poll, see if there's enough concern on the board that we should do it.
I will move. Point
an ironic aspect of this. If a lab of, you know, let's assume that there's not a problem of a lab falling below the 12 number, okay? I mean, that's a different issue, perhaps. But if a lab of, say, 18 people elects another 9 people, if that, you know, how does that change the feeling or perspective of the lab regarding anything? If that, if those people are elected by that lab, I think it's fair to say that those people are relatively similarly representative of similar views. So I don't think it really changes the perspective. The only real issue that it changes is grandfathering, to the extent that lab members are retained in the new bylaws. I know in Los Angeles we added, we did it literally that. We went from 12 to 18 members, I believe the numbers are. But we didn't ask them about their views of the bylaws. However, we did move that and agree that they would not be subject to grandfathering. So we weren't actually, you know, packing the lab for grandfathering purposes, and we didn't really change the outlook of the lab, except for we made it better.
Are you allowing them to vote on the bylaws?
Yes, indeed. But like I said, the irony of the argument against that is, well, if the lab elected them on, in this case they were damn near unanimous, then that doesn't change anyone's perspectives. You know, I mean, all people that have, I mean, okay, we don't know what their views are, but I mean, the point is that they're all people that have been involved, and they're good, strong. Everyone likes the work that's being done. So I don't see how preventing people from coming on the lab is packing it in one direction or another relative to the bylaws. It's not.
You're saying that the same lab could have been elected, the additional group could have been brought in, let's say, 6 months ago, and nobody would have objected to it, and they could have been the same individuals.
Well, that's true as well. But the point is, if 12 people elect six others, and they're people whose judgment they trust, how is that? Some have said, well, you're packing the lab because in order to have some effect upon the vote on the bylaws. And my view of that is it doesn't make sense because, A, you know, you're not vetting them for their perspective on the bylaws, but more importantly, if they're like-minded people, then how is that changing it, whether it's 12 or 18?
Okay.
I second David's sentiment on that.
I'm sorry, Rob, that was you, Rob?
Yes, that was Rob. I was saying I agree with David's reasoning.
Okay, George, were you trying to say something before?
No, it's okay.
Okay.
This is Pete. I had a couple questions.
Yeah, Pete.
Maybe it was David who said, you know, are there any labs now that are underrepresented?
Under 12, minimum?
Correct.
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
So with that said, are there any normal, through the course of a regular board's year, are there any votes that need to happen, or are there any positions that need to be filled?
I don't think we're in a normal phase.
Well,
there is nothing normal going on.
Let's say labs, I don't know. Let's say
in Houston, I have to say that we do have a very strong, hard-working LAB. Even though we've had a resignation recently, we do have enough people to fill all the committees, in my opinion.
Okay.
So you're saying you don't need to add new members? Is that what you're saying, Teresa?
I'm saying this is controversial in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people that say that we need to have lab members, some people that feel strongly that we do not. We do have, right now,
hear you.
We have 18 right now. We have 18.
And how many are proposed to be added?
We had, I think, about 17 applications. We went through a process, and we have 8 people that are ready that we could go into an executive selection session and select 4.
So is this, and so I guess the cycle of new members is coming up for Houston. Any more in any of the other labs?
No, I'm sorry, I don't know that that's true. It's not that
this is
a regularly scheduled cycle. Remember, the whole Houston lab situation was quite chaotic 6 months ago.
Okay.
Right, and so I don't think this is just a decision that the lab made that they like to add some people.
If I could say our current policies and procedures, which were adopted in 1998, say that there should be a minimum of 12 and a maximum of 24 lab members. They don't prescribe a cycle. They say the lab may elect anybody they want at any time to the lab. So, for instance, if the KPFT lab wants to meet and elect new members, they're permitted to do that up to a maximum of 24 under the current policies, which will change under the bylaws in a few months, but that's the current policy. the question then becomes, if they have 18 members and want to add four, that would bring them up to 22. And there's controversy in Houston, apparently, according to Teresa, about doing it. And there are questions being raised about whether or not doing so would affect the outcome of the vote on the bylaws. I have absolutely no reason to think so, because I don't know these people and I don't know what their views on the bylaws are. But the question's been raised, and that's why I brought it here.
This is Rob. It sounds to me like we don't, you know, we don't want to make any recommendations about this. So unless anybody else has something to say,
well,
we should just.
Yeah, I would like to say one thing. It seems to me also that the issue, I have no way of knowing if adding any more lab people in any of the cities is going to, how it might impact on the vote in terms of the bylaws. I do think the real issue is around the grandfathering issue, which is, I think, a disputed issue. Let me say very clearly here, right now, and of course my thinking could be changed on this, but right now I'm inclined to not want to grandfather anybody in. And if present lab members want to run, they should not be excluded from running.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
not inclined to support grandfathering in people. But so then, if people are added now, it wouldn't make a difference if that position wins, you know, if in the end there is no grandfathering in.
Madam Chair, we voted in Houston not to grandfather, but a number of people.
Not to grandfather anybody or just the last one?
We voted to not grandfather anybody.
Okay.
But there is a great deal of controversy over this, and I would hate it. I would hate to think that because we selected four people at this time, because I've seen the title line on lots of emails, lab packing Texas style. I mean, if you think, I don't have to vote on this. If you think that it would cause more pain for Houston to have these people voted on, then I respect your judgment on that.
Well, I have I don't know where we're going to end up on grandfathering. I know from conversations with two lab chairs that there are strong arguments by those chairs for grandfathering some of the members. So I don't know where we're going to end up in the end when we are asking three out of five labs to agree to something. So I don't know whether grandfathering is or is not going to be in the ultimate bylaws. But Houston, you say, Teresa, has voted that they will not grandfather anyone, so whatever the bylaws say, they won't do it. Is that correct?
Well, that's putting Teresa on the spot. You know, if I might suggest that while as the national board we not interfere too much, if we were to suggest strongly that any newly elected lab members not be subject to any potential grandfathering clause that might be in the new bylaws, that might be guidance.
Yeah. I agree. I don't think that we are prepared to or that we need to actually have a motion on this issue and mandate anything. I think that, you know, we've heard the issues raised, we heard the concerns, and that if this can be referred to each of the labs as guidance, that is that we hope that if, you know, new people are brought on, that it's not for the purposes of packing a lab in order to get an outcome on a vote on bylaws, and that also labs would agree that any new people brought on would not be part of any grandfathering should that be part of the final bylaws that we pass.
That is where I agree with that. I mean, the whole notion of packing, in a way, doesn't make sense. David spelled it out very clearly, that if the lab is strong enough to put people to pack, they can already vote this way, as presently constituted,
right,
to have, you know, their way, you know, whatever bylaws they want elected, you know, passed. So to me, that would not be the reason. For example, in New York, even though we have 16 members, we have struggled to have 11 people present at meetings. So we've actually considered adding people, and there was some controversy, and we have promised that we would put out some standards and get feedback before we do so. And we haven't done it, so being faithful to our promise, you know, we didn't add anybody, but we could definitely use more people to do the work. So I would be in favor of you know, supporting what Leslie said last, that we do recommendations for the lad as a guideline, and that that we recommend that they don't grandfather anybody who's added at the, right now.
Okay, so we agree that we're not going to have any motion. We're not going to mandate anything.
Are we going to expression of our the sense of the board that this be a recommendation to the labs?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, if we had to say anything that represents the sense of what we're saying now, there are two issues. One is that if people are being added, we would see this as a precursor to the elections in which people that have demonstrated by attendance and work that they are potential members for the lab, then that's within the lab's purview to decide upon, but that our feeling is that no one that comes on a board at this a lab at this point should be considered for grandfathering, that the point would be for anybody that wants to be on the new lab to run to be on the new lab.
Right.
So are we saying that that's our sort of sense beginning today?
Yeah.
And it does not affect the lab members who have been added in Washington and L.A. in the last couple of months?
Well, the ones that have been added in KPFK last couple of months were expressly precluded from grandfathering.
Okay.
Okay.
But anyway,
right, I think
from
we
this
can only
forward. Okay.
Yeah, we can only look forward.
So what do we decide?
Are we done?
Yeah, no, there's just one other thing I want to raise. Let me just clarify for George. We're not taking any formal vote. We're not issuing any mandates. The sense of this body is that if a given lab feels that it needs to because of the workload and because there are people who have expressed an interest and, you know, have been doing work around the stations, that they need to add some people to the labs, that's fine. But that should not be an assumption should not be made from that they, in fact, they would not be grandfathered in should grandfathering be part of the final bylaws. So that's the sense of this body.
Beginning today.
Right, beginning today. The final item I just want to raise, I think it'll
be
real quick.
Leslie, I want to make sure I fully understand this, please. They will not be grandfathered starting today.
Right, anybody added, if some lab adds somebody tonight to their lab, and if the bylaws include a grandfathering provision, then they would not be included in that. Get it?
No, include a grandfathering provision.
If the final bylaws include grandfathering, which we don't know if it will, but if it does, then anybody added to any lab from here on out would not be considered for as eligible for grandfathering.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Okay, great. Now, the one other thing, I think this can be very quick. Teresa raised the idea of having some kind of discussion or, you know, open meeting discussion on Thursday night in Houston about the bylaws. There's also been a recommendation that I got, I think, from Carol, that on Friday, since I believe all or hopefully, you know, most of the board will be in Houston because we're going to do the retreat on Thursday, that on Friday we spend several hours, maybe, you know, the bulk of the day even, meeting as the bylaws committee, that the bylaws committee would meet. That meeting would be open to all the board members. It would not be a decision-making meeting. That would have to be referred to the board meeting itself. But that would be an open session, open to the public, and we can have, you know, a lot of time that way to go point by point and review all the different points of views about the bylaw issues. I personally think that might be more productive than trying to do it Thursday night after we've been through a whole day of a retreat.
Dave Frederick agrees, and he has to go. I'll go wherever George and Teresa and Leslie tell me. I'll be in Houston Wednesday.
Okay.
Thank you.
Everybody, you heard what David said, right?
That's the guy lying.
Leslie, let me just ask you one question.
Yes.
So what you're suggesting is that we go through the bylaws on Friday, that the board does, so they familiarize themselves with them.
Mm-hmm.
On Thursday.
On Friday.
Friday.
Is what Leslie
said. Thursday we're going to have the retreat.
No, I'm clear on that.
Right, I was saying to Ray.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Friday.
So Friday, we as a board, we're sitting down and going through the bylaws.
Right.
And the public can be there as well.
Yes.
Okay. Is there going to be public comment on everything we talk about? Because I can foresee that.
No. What I would like to recommend is that perhaps at the beginning of that session on Friday, now we set aside, I don't know how much time yet, 45 minutes or something, for anybody from the public who has a concern about the bylaws, but they haven't already sent us by email or some other way, that they have a chance to put that out, right? That we hear some, you know, for some amount of time, a limited amount of time, we hear public comment related to bylaws. Then we, as the board, would have this discussion.
I have Teresa mentioned this, and I actually think it's a good idea, although I hadn't, I just heard it for the first time, maybe.
It wasn't a proposal that Leslie had sent.
No, Teresa mentioned that members of the various bylaws subcommittees might want to make a presentation
yes.
to the board. I see that as somewhat different from public comment.
Yeah.
And I could see setting aside some time for each of the bylaws subcommittees, if they choose to do so, to have some representatives who would make a presentation to the
yes.
board as to why they arrived at and recommended what they did, and perhaps answer any questions or clarify for the board what the meaning of their recommendations to the board are. I'd be happy to hear that from all of the five subcommittees if they have members they'd like to send to Houston.
How's that, folks?
Well, from New York, I can tell you we would need at least two people to present that position, because no matter what position you take, there will be a substantial amount of individual opposing that.
Okay, but New York can discuss how it might want to take advantage of that opportunity
okay.
to make a presentation. Either one person could do it and say, you know, the committee is split on this issue and that issue, whatever, or two people could, you know, if we agree
okay, I can
to
do
this,
one.
Then we would assign each city a certain amount of time, maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it would be, and then each city could decide how it's going to use its time.
Fair enough.
I had one other thing that was proposed to me by somebody, I've forgotten who, I apologize, that the board actually needs a presentation on proportional representation. It was not discussed in all subcommittee areas. But it is a serious proposal. It's how KPFA has done their voting. And if we could have a proportional representation expert explain it to the board exactly how it works and what it's designed to accomplish, that might be a good education for the board. There's been a proposal that Lonnie Guineer would do it by videotape, and there's another one or two people who might be suitable to...
Okay, is there any objection to doing that? To getting a concise presentation on how it works, what proportional voting is and how it works?
Is this something
that
all of our subcommittees have worked on? I mean, couldn't anybody from one of the subcommittees make the presentation?
Well, let's not decide right now who will make the presentation. If we agree that we would have a short, like 10 or 15 minutes, I'm not talking about an hour and a half presentation, right, a short presentation. And also, if it's okay with people, perhaps somebody could do a one- or two-page description of it that could be included in the board packets, a written description.
Yeah.
Now, would there be any opposition of that model to any other existing model rather than...
Well, it's included in the KPFA revised draft, and it was included in the KPFA original draft. I didn't see it as being permitted under any of the other models put forward.
Well, you know, a number of us, there were a number of issues when we did our draft in June, in early June, that we hadn't been able to discuss fully or hadn't achieved consensus on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, I don't think... that we're in disagreement here. My only concern is that the board is going to have to understand the issues related to the bylaws and vote on something and go forward. And I don't want us to create a presentation that allows individuals with a lot of different points of view who either didn't come to the subcommittee meetings or are coming out of left field altogether to confuse the board on what they're doing.
I don't think that's the proposal. I think the proposal is that the board might need some education on exactly how proportional representation works in order to vote intelligently on whether we want it or not.
Sure.
Well, this is Teresa in Houston. We do have the film on proportional representation. Most of the people on our governance committee have seen the film. Plus, we have talked with David Green, and I've also had like a 15-page description of it, So I think it is acceptable for all PNB members or IPNB members to read it in advance of the meeting.
It's 15 pages?
It really should not take 15 pages to explain it.
I think I've seen one floating around that's about two or three.
If we could get, like I said, a short, you know, two-page thing in the packets, if the film is available maybe Thursday night, anybody who wanted to view the film could see the film Thursday night in Houston. And we could, I don't know that we need to be on this call much longer to decide this. I think my sense of the body is that if there is a way to do this in a short, concise way, that so that it, and in a way that doesn't divert our or take away the time that we need to put into many other issues related to the bylaws, but helps educate people or inform us all so that should we, you know, when we have to vote on whether or not we're going to use proportional voting, we know what we're doing, why we're voting one way or another. Is that okay? We'll try and integrate this in.
Yes.
All the thing is, let's not try and hammer out all the details right
now. All right. I'm just trying to see what would be on the agenda for Friday. Would it be public comment, presentations from any of the five subcommittees who wish to send representatives to make one.
Right.
Perhaps a short, brief, concise presentation of to educate the board on what proportional representation is, and
right.
then we move into our
right.
whatever we're going to do the rest of the day.
Right, but it's going to be a business meeting. It's not going to be an open meeting slugfest.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. As my grandmother used to say, from your mouth to God's ear. Okay, folks, I think
right.
this meeting is over.
Yes.
All right, thank you all. Talk to you all soon.
Okay,
thank you.
Be well.
Bye-bye.
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 Most times you can't hear them talk, other times you can. All the same old cliches. Is that a woman or a man? And you always seem outnumbered. You don't dare make a stand. Here I am on the road again. There I am, up on the stage. Here I go, playing the star again. There I go, turn the page.
Pacifica Radio, Pacifica Mission. Freedom of conscience, freedom of speech.
Pacifica means a lot to me. Pacifica is about who we are. I see Pacifica as a manifestation of humanity.
Pacifica was able to significant...